Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 4th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Along the way, Dave Dickey will have details of all the agricultural news for the day, and I'll ask you to dial a phone number in support of this agricultural programming. The Closing Mark Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois and a partnership with you, the listener. That's right, it's not all supported by taxpayer dollars or revenue from the underwriters and ads you hear when you listen. We expect, we believe, our listeners will contribute financially as well. You can start now by dialing this number. It's 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Pledge your financial support. Let's start, say, at $200 for the year. Sounds good, and I hope so does this edition of the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at $9.74 and a quarter, up 37 and a quarter. July futures at $9.91 and a half, 39 higher, and the July of 09 at $9.72, 27 cents higher for the day. May corn futures at $5.98, down 2, July down 2 and a quarter at $6.11 and a quarter, and September corn $6.12, down 2 for the day. December futures $6.08 and three quarters for your new crop corn, a penny and a half lower. December 09 contract at $5.61 and three quarters, up 1 and a quarter on the afternoon. May soybean futures at $12.77, up 20 for the day. July at $12.94, up 18. The August futures at $12.87, a settlement price 19 cents higher. November beans, $12.23 and three quarters, up 28 and one half. May bean meal futures at $3.33.50, up 30 for the day. July futures at $3.36.70. up 50 cents. May bean oil at $56.61, $1.24 higher. July futures at $57.25, up 1.13 for the afternoon. April live cattle, $87.90, 20 cents higher. June futures at $89.20, up 12.5 cents. April feeders at $98.60, down a dime. And the May futures at $101.10, 30 higher for the day. April lean hogs, $58.52.5, up 90. And the May contract at $71 even, up $2.87.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now to talk to you just a little bit about, well, fundraising here at the radio station. On hand with us this afternoon in studio is the station manager, Jay Pierce. And Jay, what we would like to happen is for folks to dial this number, 217-244-9455, in support of agricultural programming.
Yep.
Why is it important?
Well, it's important because this is a service to thousands and thousands of people all over our listening area and on the internet beyond. And the dollars that you pledge at 244-9455 make it all possible. That's the bottom line, Todd. $63,500 raised on our way to $200,000 by the end of the day Tuesday. Let's get over $65,000 by the end of this half hour. We'll do it with your call at 244-9455. And Roach Ag Marketing, Bates Commodities, AgriGold, Risk Management Commodities, they have all gotten together to issue a $1,000 challenge. As soon as we hear from 50 of you at 244-9455 with your $200 or whatever amount you feel comfortable with pledge, you'll join Greg Schaefer of Mattoon and Alan Adden of Pena in helping us reach that challenge. $1,000. We have 10 in, so 40 more calls during agricultural programming, and this our spring pledge drive. 244-9455.
We have today, Saturday,
yep,
and Monday.
That's
and
right.
Maybe Tuesday, I suppose.
Yeah, we have Tuesday, although we're going to have those, the General Petraeus is going to be outlining the situation in Iraq through a lot of the day to the Armed Services Committee. We'll be on the internet with ag programming.
It'll
of
be
course.
Live one way or the yep. other at 206,
but,
live on the internet.
And on 1520 a.m., if you can hear that, we'll have the Closing Market Report. I want to mention, too, that Scott Williamson and AgriGold Muhammad will add $5 to each new member's pledge right now at 244-9455.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at what happened in the world of the agricultural markets on a Friday afternoon, as he always does. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
How are you this afternoon?
Doing real well, thank you.
You know, it looks like the weekend's going to be sunshiny finally. I bet your farmers are anxious to get into the field, but that's not going to happen over the weekend, is it?
Well, but their mood is definitely improving. I can tell you the earlier part of this week, the mood was not very good, but as we closed up the week yesterday and today in particular, we did see a noted change in their attitudes, and they're starting to feel a little bit of life in them again.
What, $6 corn did the trick?
No, that didn't do the trick. I think the talk of maybe we're going to get warmer is going to do the trick, and maybe we'll get drier, and I think that's really doing the trick.
Well, maybe the 7 and 60 corn that we were talking about on the air with Wicker yesterday that did a little number with them, too. Tell me what your view of this marketplace is at the moment.
I think probably the biggest thing we noted this week was that the outside markets took a hiatus from the trade, obviously because of the planting numbers and because of the grain stocks numbers. The wheat, as our leader still, Todd, is settled in the July only about a nickel from where it closed the day before the report. And that made sense to us from a standpoint that even though the grain stocks numbers were a little bit bigger in the wheat than the trade associated with or estimated, the acreage numbers for the main hard red wheat belt states are going to be down about 1.1 million versus last year. We know those are firm numbers because this is a March report, so it's unlikely those are going to change that much at all. And we quite honestly felt like the wheat was a neutral report overall, if not slightly friendly, given the dry areas of the southern plains. But it got very caught up in the downside and the downdraft of the other commodities. And so by switching gears and moving back, like I said, within a nickel of where it closed the day before the report, and the July Chicago futures, and Minneapolis is back as a strong leader with limit up movement again these past couple 3 days, I felt like that maybe the market was turning its attention back towards the big picture fundamentals of, do we have enough supply? Yes, the demand side is still a question mark. Yes, the economic conditions are worsening, not improving. And it seems to be spreading into Asia, and it seems to be spreading into Europe based upon some new data coming from the Euro area and also from Japan. But the supply side is still as much a question mark as it was, when it comes to the wheat at least, as it was several months back. And end users are coming back to the table. So at the end of the week, I felt a big sigh of relief because the wheat doesn't look like it's all done with and headed lower here for the rest of the year. It's going to take some really, really improved weather in the southern plains to get that motivated back to the downside, we think.
Were you able to discern from the USDA numbers which crop might be replacing those wheat acres? Was it soybeans or corn?
It looked like soybeans for the most part based upon the way the data came out and some of the information that came out of the lockup. It looked strongly, especially in Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma, states that we were not expecting big drops in the winter wheat acres. I think it's going to be strongly pushed towards the bean side of the equation.
Hey, can you stay with us for a while yet?
You bet, as long as you need us.
Well, another 10 minutes or so, and we'll continue to talk about the marketplace. But I do want to remind listeners that you're listening to the Closing Market Report to begin with. It's a service of the University of Illinois, and it's publicly funded in part. We have some commercial radio stations along with us now, and of course our regular listeners on WILL AM 580. Those listeners are used to us talking to them, Mike, a little bit about giving to the station, giving in support of agricultural programming, in support of the Closing Market Report here on this campus at Illinois. And we often ask them for a $100 bill, Dave Dickey and I, and they respond. They really respond well. This time around, though, Mike, things are a little different for the ag listeners. They're doing very well at this point, and we think they probably will for maybe the coming year. In the past, when they've not been doing so well, they probably recall me saying, don't worry about it. We're in the middle of a fund drive, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Now's the flip side, Mike. And the station manager for the radio station on campus, WILL, is with us, Jay Pierce, this afternoon to tell us there's some reasons really why we're asking, not for $100, but for $200 from our ag listeners. And they can call in and dial that number now, 217-244-9455. to pledge their financial support or to just double what they've already given. And Jay, why don't you tell us just a little bit where we are at this point?
Well, sure, I can do that. First, I want to welcome the listeners out of the Clinton area and to the west on the Big 1520. And I want to thank Randy Miller and Jeremy White for shining up the buckle of the Corn Belt once again and getting that flamethrower going to serve an area that AM 580, which is our home station here, WILL at the University of Illinois, can't get to because our signal doesn't go to the west very well. So, you know, thanks to Randy and thanks to the stations that will be picking up this programming and the Farm Bureau for helping us get it out there to provide this valuable information on a widespread basis. We here at WILL Radio at the university work like this. We get some funding from the federal government. We get some from the university and we get some from the state government. But the biggest single chunk of our budget comes from listeners to the service and users of the service, and that's why you hear us now, which may be a little bit unusual to some of you, saying call 217-244-9455 and make a pledge of support, whether it's $52, a dollar a week, whether it's $100 or $200, as Todd is suggesting. That'll help us reach our goal during this, what we call our spring membership campaign of $200,000. Now, the reason we're setting optimistic goals like this, well, we had a little rescission, a little cut in our state funding, a big cut. We had a cut, our federal funding was down a bit. There's been a little rescission from the university. But all of that adds up to a rather significant number of dollars that we don't have in our operating budget from those government sources. So, what we do is we turn to listeners, users of the service, and say, look, you use the service, and you also, when you contribute, help provide it for so many other people who, for one reason or other, don't contribute, can't contribute right now. You make this service possible when you call 244-9455. You're also going to help us meet a challenge. We have businesses that help us here, like Risk Management Commodities. We thank you, Mike. Agrigold, Bates Commodities, Roach Ag Marketing, they're pooling $1,000 in challenge money. So as soon as we hear from 50 of you at 244-9455, that's an area code 217, with your contributions to agriculture programming, then we will indeed get that $1,000 in challenge money. And for every new member, somebody who hasn't contributed to this operation before, when you call and contribute, then Scott Williamson at Agrigold Commodities and Muhammad will add $5 to your pledge. He urges you, try us out at just, a dollar a week at 217-244-9455.
Boy, our thanks to Risk Management Commodities and all the rest of them, Scott Williamson, Agrigold, for helping out. It's important. Please do it. It's 217-244-9455. Mike, thanks to Risk Management, too, for bellying up and helping us out in this time. And we do appreciate all the work that you guys do. One other note, if you're listening on the web after the fact or live, you don't get off that easy either. We'd like you to come in with $100 or $200. And we have 2,600 folks, Mike, don't we, on that newsletter over the weekend. And that's a good service. Dave Dickey's busily writing that, I think, yet this afternoon and over the weekend. And we do a lot of things, we think, for the farm community, and we hope they will respond this time around. You know, ag's doing really well. It really is here at the station. I think we're doing perfectly fine. We're advancing things, but we really need the rest of the service to be good, too. And we want you to belly up.
That's right. WillPledge.org is somewhere you can go to make a contribution with a credit card online. We'd like to hear from 15 this half hour. So if you're listening right now, be one of the 15 that will call and stand up for quality, in-depth agriculture programming, valuable information in good times and bad times. We're here for you all times, whether it is a good time, whether it's not so good time. We're here with the information that sometimes maybe is most important at the times when everything's down a little bit to help you get through it. But, you know, hopefully we've given you some information over the past year that's positioned you to take advantage of the good time.
Jay, thanks for coming in this afternoon. Jay Pierce is station manager here at the radio station, online with us this afternoon. Still to talk about the commodity markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. Mike, we've got about 3.5 minutes. Take up the corn market for me, please.
Well, it seems like it's going to be about the same as it was when we went to the Beef House meeting and talked about how the outside markets may cause a pretty strong correction. We got that correction in both corn and beans, Todd. It seems like now we're transitioning to The supply and the weather is really going to dictate the price action to the upside. And it's going to be an extremely hard environment to market, because if the demand is softening because of some recessionary pressures, and you can't measure food demand very well, it's very inelastic, and you never quite know when it stops and when it's on its way down. But with the recessionary pressures we're feeling right now and the fact that we've reached these price levels, we suspect that as the corn gets into the ground, it's going to really be up to supply and weather to keep these prices at these levels or to let them go on higher. And obviously, the dollar is going to make a big impact in that, as far as whether the funds stay in the long side of the commodity ledger as opposed to moving over to the short side. And so between that and the cash grain marketing being at its hardest that I have ever seen it, because of the constraints the commercials have with their what they can do in terms of offsetting their risk at the Board of Trade or the CME group, I think that's the corn market in a nutshell. And I think that really goes to say a lot about what you folks provide. If there's ever a year where I would think that your information and that email that you send out and what you do on the air is valuable and going to be, you know, pay off what you use to donate to help a really good program, I would think that would be enough, just that alone. But I got to tell you, for me, it's about relationships. It's been 11 years that we've been on the air with you guys, and when my dad passed away a few months ago, I could not believe how good the university and how good Will Radio was to me and my family. And, you know, for that, if that's not worth keeping a relationship up and donating, I don't know what is, quite honestly.
Yeah, you know, the radio station itself is like family. It's like family to me. I've been here since, well, I started in 85 as a student and worked here for 5 years from 89 to 94 before I went to University of Illinois Extension and then came back in 2003 when they were really in need at the station, I suppose, for some help. And Dave Dickey has come along. Oh, boy, he's really come along as a director of ag programming here. Very proud of him. He does a great job with the weekend newsletter. But the relationships that we build with our listeners is important to us. We like to be open and accessible. And if you have things that you'd like changed on the station, the way we do the ag programming, all you have to do is call or write us, and it's pretty simple to do. Just look us up on the web. You can search my name. You can search Dave's name. You can call 333-0850. But right now, we'd really like you to call 217-244-9455 and to pledge your financial support. This is pretty easy, Mike. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, they're all waiting right now to talk to you. It only takes about 90 seconds. You're pledging your financial support. Hey, I'd like to have 4 cents from today's bean rally. What do you think, Mike? Can we do that?
We do. We think we can get a little bit more out of this bean rally, and we think that can go towards the Will Radio. I think just in the sense, not only what you and Dave and Jay do, but, you know, think of Ed Kieser and his staff and what they're able to do. I mean, that's going to be so important this year, and we know that already because farmers are talking about that more than anything, and the Chicago traders are as well. They are talking about, well, whether the rains here after the 12th, you know, start to dry out, and the Midwest starts to dry out and heat up, we'll be able to get into the fields. And did the price of the beans, you know, going down and the price of the corn going up this week bring 2 to 4 million acres back into the corn? Well, that's going to be determined by the weather. And I think that's where the value of what Ed and his staff does is right there in terms of the amount you donate.
Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us all for a long time this afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Speaking of Dave, he'll be here in a moment to take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon. Don't forget to dial that number. It's 217-244-9455.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027. Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, The chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee yesterday said he will support the Farm Bill Framework Agreement, detailing how $10 billion above baseline will be spent, as well as what programs will be cut to pay for potential increases in nutrition, conservation, and commodity programs. But Tom Harkin is not enthusiastic about his endorsement. In Harkin's words, "I'm not very happy with it myself. It's better than nothing." And Wisconsin lawmaker Ron Kind is upset that a permanent disaster aid program may make the final bill.
When you look the way this is structured, it's the granddaddy of all earmarking, because there's a few select regions, like the Dakotas, that would be the primary beneficiary of this new disaster aid program. But let's not fool ourselves. If there's going to be a drought or some disaster out west or down in the southeast, you know darn well the federal government's going to be stepping in order to assist farmers in need. So setting up this permanent disaster program is really a targeted line item or a pork barrel project. And I think there's a better way of structuring that through some reforms with the crop insurance program that exists right now. And I think there's some areas where we can tighten that up for some cost savings and make it more efficient and more affordable to the average farmer.
Meanwhile, House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Charles Rangel says Senate members must abandon their plan for a wide variety of tax cuts if they want his cooperation in providing that $10 billion in additional Farm Bill funding. Monsanto has announced a $196 million expansion of its glyphosate production plant in Louisiana. The expansion could increase worldwide supplies of the broad-spectrum herbicide by 10% in time for the 2010 growing season. But Monsanto executives say the expansion may not mean a decrease in Roundup Ready prices. The American Soybean Association says it has formed a group to look at price volatility in the futures market with an eye toward recommending changes to help producers better manage risk. ASA members met yesterday with representatives from the Chicago Board of Trade, Minneapolis Grain Group, Kansas City Board of Trade, CME Group, and the Commodity Markets Council. Among the topics discussed, changes to the delivery system, expansion of delivery territory, and capping index fund hedge exemption. And U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has called for closer U.S.-Chinese cooperation on energy conservation and for Beijing to cut import duties on environmental technology. Paulson says China could become a leader in deploying advanced technology for conservation, but technology must be developed and adapted at a faster pace. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks to Dave Dickey. He's the Director of Ag Programming here at the WILL radio stations, public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason, asking you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, in support of Ag Programming. On the phone with us this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Hi, Bruce.
Hey there.
Tell me about cash grain in your area.
Well, movement has been quiet. Basis is kind of going the opposite way of the board. We've seen corn up and beans down on the board. The opposite's happening on basis. On beans, old crop, export, and processor numbers have been improving through the week. Corn side, export and the Western Belt processors have been backing off. Eastern Belt processors steady to maybe a little bit better on some of the nearbys.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 572 on nearby corn and 1225 on the soybeans.
Sorry I was short with you, but we've got to move along. Thanks much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather for the day. Dial 217-244-9455 right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Republicans are suddenly left without a candidate in the 104th Illinois House District, but the current seat holder says he'd be willing to hold off retirement. Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower says he filed papers today to withdraw as a candidate. In an emailed release, Eisenhower says he wants to focus on finishing his goals in the mayor's office, and he says he has a passion for the job he's currently doing. Eisenhower's decision leaves the GOP ballot empty to replace longtime state representative Bill Black, who had vocally endorsed Eisenhower to the point that he said he would reverse his decision to retire if Eisenhower didn't enter the race. Today, Black said he'll offer his advice to the GOP chairman in Vermilion and Champaign counties, including an offer to run for office again if asked. Democrats recently nominated Vermilion County Board Member Lori DeYoung for the November ballot. Champaign County GOP Chairman Jason Berrickman says the Central Committees should meet in the next couple of weeks. Attorneys are making their final arguments over the proper sentence for former Urbana teacher John White. This morning, a judge heard from parents of 7 of the 8 second-grade students that White admitted to molesting. They told the judge that White caused irreparable damage to their daughters and families. Prosecutors are asking for the maximum 56-year sentence for the 8 counts White pleaded guilty to. His defense attorneys are asking for a shorter sentence. White's father also addressed the judge, saying the case has been a nightmare for his family, too. The chancellor of Southern Illinois University's Carbondale campus doesn't agree with many of the performance concerns that have landed him on paid administrative leave. Fernando Trevino met for about a half hour with university president Glenn Pichard today. Pichard had put Trevino on leave last month, just 9 months after Trevino took the helm of SIU's flagship campus. Pichard contends that Trevino hasn't carried out basic initiatives required of the job. Illinois schools did fairly well last year when it comes to national writing tests. The average score for the state's eighth graders was 160, compared to a national average of 154 in the National Assessment of Education Progress. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason in Urbana on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We'd like to thank these folks who've called in so far this afternoon with their pledges of financial support to the Closing Market Report. Kent Dwayne Staggs of Wayne City, Ernest Weiss of Marseilles, and Terry Segebrook of Morris, thanks much. You can join them too. Dial 217-244-9455 and support ag programming and agricultural weather like that from Steve Hilberg, who's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about weather for the weekend. Finally sunshine, maybe?
Yeah, it looks like it's finally going to be a nice weekend here and not cold on top of it. And typically, we've had nice weekends, but they've been cold. But it looks like finally we're going to get a little break here, and it will be a small break. The weather pattern hasn't substantially changed, and we're going to be seeing more rain next week, especially over central and southern areas of the state in terms of the heavier rain. But this weekend promises to be pretty nice with 60-degree temperatures across most of Illinois and Indiana and generally sunny skies, so spring fever ought to be running pretty high by the time tomorrow afternoon comes along.
And then as you look a little further out, what do you see in April?
Wet. It's really been wet. And northern Illinois actually had a drier than average March, not extremely so, but it's been much better shape up there as opposed to the southern part of the state, which is basically gotten all the rain nobody else got, and then some. We've had, in the last 40 days, up to 20 inches of rain in some parts of southern Illinois. There was another 3 to 4 inches last night over the southern, very southern portion of the state, northern Kentucky, southern Indiana. And a couple weather systems coming through next week will probably add to that and not really give things a chance to dry out. The way things are going, I can see field work starting in the northern part of the state and progressing a lot farther along before they even get into the fields in the south at this rate. So hopefully we get a pattern change here where we can get an extended period of dry weather. But in terms of soil moisture for spring planting, the problem this year is too much in a lot of areas. Elsewhere, it's in pretty good shape.
And it's cold still.
Yeah, it's still pretty cold, and we're not looking for any huge warm-up right now. Just looking through medium range model this morning, and they're still showing these shots of cold air coming in behind these systems. So while it will slowly warm up because the sun's getting higher and we're moving into the spring season, there's no 80 degree temperatures on the horizon in the near future, and looks like we'll stay on the chilly side here for at least the next 10 days.
Steve, thanks much.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. Our thanks to Jeff Ribby, who also called in this afternoon in support of the ag programming. He's in Thawville, Illinois. And Michael out in Monticello. He did it via the web. You can, too, at willpledge.org, or you can call right now at 217-244-9455. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.